The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about House of Guinness, the Netflix show that everybody is, talking about one way or the other, some raving about it, some criticising it, and the nature of the criticism, some of it, not all of it, some of it, is about how inaccurate they suggest it is. Well, Dr. Kevin Egan is with me. He is a historian and knows all about the Guinness family. Kevin, is it inaccurate?
By and large, it would be inaccurate, yes. They tend to try and compress a lot of events that didn't take place during the time that the series is set into that period. And as well as that, they give certain aspects of the characters that didn't exist in reality. So their personalities are very different.
Well, we won't give too much away in terms of the series, but give me some examples of a couple of things maybe in the first couple of episodes.
Well, you see, the big thing about the series is it's about how the children of Sir Benjamin Lee Guinness are inherit from his will. And in the series, the big issue is that two of them are disinherited, but in reality, they weren't. I mean, the two children were very well taken care of. I mean, the son, who was supposed to have gotten nothing, was given £20,000 and estates all over Ireland, and the daughter was given £30,000. So I think they're trying to create a sibling rivalry from that, but in reality, there was sibling rivalry between the two elder brothers anyway, because they were jointly left control ownership of the brewery.
So do you suspect, the drama that first attracted the story makers, the filmmakers, to this particular story, and then they thought, you know what, on its own, that's not enough. Let's disinherit those two as well, and it'll add a bit of spice.
I think that really is what they went with. It seems to be based in some element on Succession, the HBO program. So there is that element of trying to create each one jostling for position against the other.
The Guinnesses are not serious people, in other words. That's what we're saying. what have they got accurate? What's right about it?
Well, there are. I mean, they certainly have the idea of the brewery accurate, and it was an enormous undertaking, and the fact that they took care of their employees so well. They do bring in certain political aspects. The fact that the Guinness family were unionist, and they were very much opposed to home rule, which is the topic at the time. So, and then the temperance movement is also brought into it as well. So there are live historical themes and issues that are discussed or at least portrayed in the series that gets the Guinnesses on the correct side that they were of those issues.
John Fardy is with us as well, Kevin, the presenter of Screen Time, of course, here on News Talk. John, I mean, this is not the first series on Netflix that's found itself under this type of microscope and discussions being had about how historically accurate or otherwise it is.
No, absolutely not. And I would say, you know, At the start of the Netflix show, it says, like it does with a lot of historical shows on Netflix and indeed Disney and other places, these events are inspired by true events, and the key word being inspired. And, you know, the Crown famously did this, and people in the UK in particular were in uproar about certain aspects of the Crown that were largely made up, based loosely on certain things that had happened. And it's interesting reading the reviews, you know. I was talking about this to someone the other day, like the UK press seem to adore this and think it's the next thing, best thing since Peaky Blinders and Succession. You look at some of the Irish reviews, they're a lot more nuanced, some people hating it. And that's a combination of the historical inaccuracies. But I mean, you know, Netflix are going to make a show about Guinness, which, whether we like it or not, is possibly the most famous Irish brand in the world. You know, it's a no-brainer that the storytelling was going to get away from historical inaccuracies. And I'm not saying, you know, that's great, let's celebrate everything being wrong, but I don't think it's very surprising that this is the case.
The kind of mirrored reaction into the Crown, I guess what it shows is just people tend to be precious about their own history, don't they? And we consider Guinness history our own to a degree, given it's a brand that's synonymous with the country. And so, you know, we're a bit precious about that, in the same way the Brits were a bit precious about the Crown.
Exactly. And we can understand that. But, you know, we get less jumpy up and down about things. And, you know, any series based on, like, if you take even, you know, some series to do with American stuff, like the one Dopesick, which is a brilliant show on Disney Plus, all about Michael Keaton and oxycodone.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And that let people in to the story of, you know, dependency on these drugs. But there was a lot of kind of inaccuracy or flights of fancy in that as well. And yet that doesn't bother us as much when it's it's further away from home. Now, I do have to say there are much more, and Kevin will know more about this than I might have, but there are much more historical inaccuracies in Guinness than there were in the recent, you know, history of Dopesick. But the point still holds in a way. I think the closer we are to it, maybe the more it upsets it. But it's decent drama. Like, with my actual hat on when I know what I'm talking about, this is a good, entertaining show. And I would say as well, and I wonder what Kevin thinks about this, but like, you know, it will be a certain insight into 1860s Dublin and that kind of thing. So maybe it's a way in for people to go and investigate it. But if you're going to sit your teenagers down and say, look, here's a history of Guinness, this is exactly accurate, well, you're going to get historical egg on your face, obviously.
Is it a good insight into 1860s Dublin, some of those inaccuracies aside, Kevin?
Well, my view would be that people should watch it because it reintroduces these characters into people's consciousness again, and they've been forgotten for so long. It gives you a great insight into their lives, into what the mores of the time were, what society was like. So it's a great jumping off point. And from there on, people could go and find something of I suppose, more authoritative information that will give them a proper aspect. But I think it is a good jumping off point for people to see.
I guess assumes people will use it as a jumping off point and they will go and find more information. The reality is lots of people will watch this and they won't go and read about the Guinness family or learn anything more. And this is actually how they will learn about 1860s Dublin, isn't it?
It probably is. But if one were to think about it, I mean, the programme itself, it doesn't present them in the worst possible light. I mean, they were much kinder in reality than they are presented, but they don't come across as one-dimensional bad characters. You get drawn to them in the series, you certainly do. But there are certain things that are brought up which are very topical, such as Arthur Guinness's supposed homosexuality, for example. I mean, that there's no proof that he ever was, but it's likely that he was, considering that he had a mariage blanc with his wife, which was essentially there'd be no sex between them. And when his wife died, she instructed that all her diaries were to be burned starting in the year that she married him. So she was obviously covering something up. But it does, I think, make them interesting, well-rounded characters. And that's what people will get out of it.
Judge, you know what this reminds me of as well, and the comparison with The Crown and the British and Irish reaction, is true crime as well. Whenever there's been a high-profile true crime podcast or series or TV show, whatever it happens to be, here in Ireland, there's an element of national knickers twisting that goes on about whether this is kind of voyeuristic or whether it's suitable. We do no such thing when we're all following the hit true crime podcast from the States somewhere. You know, we're in a way, we're able to disassociate ourselves from the fact that those are real people and real lives were impacted by the crime when it happened that bit further away. And this is kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, no, your point is well made, very similar. And the point about the true crime thing is true. I remember everyone listening to Serial back in the day, the first kind of podcast that seemed to take over the world.
And it was just seen as pure entertainment here.
Pure entertainment. And no one, myself included, probably stopped to think about it. And obviously, with crimes much closer to home, we take them more seriously. And I guess it's just an accident or, you know, the way we treat geography, unfortunately. I would say the thing in The House of Guinness about Arthur's possible homosexuality, I mean, they're unequivocal about it in House of Guinness on the Netflix show. And it's actually some of the best scenes in it because he enters this lavender marriage, is another term for it. And some of the kind of the most awkward drama in it is around him having this marriage of convenience and them both coming to this agreement that they will, you know, have their own loves outside of the marriage bed, which appeared not to be bouncing at all. And yet we have, as Kevin says, there's no real knowledge of what went on between them. How would anyone actually know? But actually, ironically enough, that's one of the best parts of the show. Plus, there's this guy, James Norton, the actor, he's a great actor,
yeah,
who plays this guy, Rafferty, who's kind of like the Guinness henchman. He's kind of like a, you know, the A-team.
Power
one. And there's no, as far as I understand, Kevin might know better, but he's a complete fabrication,
yeah,
you know?
I mean, completely. I mean, the thing is, the man that really ran the brewery, John Tertius Purser, was an elderly, pious old man. So I don't think he'd have had the same sex appeal as James
Norton. Possibly not. I heard the House of Guinness is going to bring in Molly Malone in episode 5, says somebody, which I think is a slightly tongue-in-cheek suggestion. A House of Guinness is dreadful Irish paddy whackery. The highest sort, says somebody else. I'm still on the fence with this Guinness show. Love the history and all the locations, but it's done in a Guy Ritchie flashing film style, which I'm not sure about. I believe the brewery scenes were shot in Stockport and Manchester. That's far more shocking, says Paddy and Termin Feckin. I was absolutely disgusted when I saw the inaccuracies on this Guinness show. How dare Netflix dramatise and take creative liberties to make an entertaining show with deep characters and gripping storylines? Absolutely terrible. Similarly, tongue-in-cheek. Actually, Kevin, can I ask you about this text? Surely the Irish accents attributed to the Guinnesses in the Netflix portrayal are out of place. Like their descendants, they were probably schooled in England and moved in cut glass circles exclusively.
It would depend on which one. So Arthur would have had an English accent because he was educated in Eton, as would the second brother, Benjamin. Although he's the actor in the programme gives him an Irish accent, he would have had an English accent. Edward, on the other hand, had a Dublin accent, and in later life, even in England, he was described as having a marked Irish brogue. So Edward certainly did. The other two brothers had an English accent. That's very true.
Anyway, listen, lots of texts coming in. Thank you, Kevin, for your time. John, thank you as well. Screen Time this weekend, as always, with John Fardy. He features an interview with the great Emma Thompson, I understand. Kevin Egan as well, Dr. Kevin Egan, historian.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.